Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Highway Motherfucking Diaries continues as I come to you each and every week with my main man, Eric Wargo.
Hey, what's going on? It's good to be in the studio. this is very nice.
The Highway Diary studio. We're parked outside a weird sex gay club in West Hollywood.
All right.
What are you going to do? That's where sometimes that's where you end up. So you're in an improv group called Ghost Lights.
Who told you that?
And you do some stand-up.
A little bit.
And you're in some other improv groups, so I'm assuming.
I flirt with another one, but generally I'm in Ghost Light Improv, which we just did a set over at
Peel you away from your group that you were all hugging each other, and you were like, we love you, we love all of us.
You know what? I'm a cynical bastard. I get on a stand-up mic, and I'll fucking talk about the shit I hate. This is yours. Mm-hmm. But a good improv group supports each other. Fucking, they submerge their ego, and it's all about making these other knuckleheads look really good. And they make me look fucking awesome. So, yeah. And, you know, it's just, that's just how Ghostlight is, I guess. It's very weird. Like, you know.
So tell me about this. I had the same exact experience. I used to do improv, and now I do stand-up.
Yes.
So it's very culturally different as a performer when you're undertaking both of these things.
Right.
When you're an improv, obviously you experience a group trying to support each other, and you practice all the time together.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just talking about this earlier. I liken it to Heart of Darkness is how it is. Because I'm definitely more improviser than stand-up. I don't even say I'm a stand-up. I say I'm an open micer because that's, like, I've only been paid to do stand-up once, and that was, like, for 7 minutes. And, like, to call myself, oh, I'm a stand-up now. Like, that seems like, that's, like, everything I'm against and the kind of shit I talk about when I open mic. So, I don't know, just open micer sounds...
You're keeping it real. Look, it doesn't matter.
Keeping it humble.
You're keeping it humble, you know? Yeah. You're talking against the fakeness and the bigotry.
Dude, like, okay, how long you been doing stand-up?
5 months.
Yeah, no, I've only been doing it since July last year, right? So I'm, like, 10 months. And I'm fucking by no means good. I mean, like, I'm telling the kind of jokes they'll get laughs, but I'm just fucking tired of telling them. Like, after, like, 2 or 3 months, I'm like, this shit's boring to me. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm having a hard time with that, like, finding jokes that I want to keep telling. And but I kind of want to be on the Louis C.K. like year long plan. Like you write for a year, you culminate in a thing, and you're done with it. You don't necessarily like for me like at 1 year it'd be fucking stupid to like my iTunes album is now available. You know,
I think it's unrealistic to assume that the first year of comedy you can make an hour.
Right,
that's ridiculous.
No, but to be put on a regiment and have a goal and like something tangible to kind of mark the progress. Like, so I started in July. I don't know if I will, but I'm going to do a show in July, I guess, somewhere. I do a show in my own backyard every now and then, too, man. You should come down.
Yeah, yeah. Live in the O.C., so
it's
I live in the Valley.
It's tough. I know. I you see me. I try to make it up to, like, Van Nuys and stuff to do, like...
Liquid Zoo.
Oyster House is another cool place.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't do any of the hotter spots. Like, coming to L.A. for, like, 3 minutes is... Like, what? No, fuck that. And that's why if I do go, I go to Liquid Zoo and I fucking plan my whole fucking day around it, you know?
Yeah, because you're going to be there for 4 hours, get up, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, but there are other comics that, I mean, I hear their jokes like 20 times and I still laugh.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of like that, and I don't know, I'm still figuring a lot of stuff out, obviously.
I think, like, your goal as a comedian should be working towards your first hour. Record that hour.
Right.
And then start fresh again. I think that's the model that's been set by Louis C.K.
Yeah, because, like, don't...
Just make a new hour, throw it away.
Build a new monster.
Make a new hour, throw it away.
Yeah. I like that. I like to be put on a regiment. And that's very much how I am. I didn't, like, really get, like, a work ethic.
Yeah.
I didn't really develop one until kind of, like, maybe my mid to late 20s. I really started focusing on stuff because I kind of got scared because I knew I was coming up on 30. I wasn't really fucking doing much.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm 33 and now I'm fucking extra compensating, but you know, it's a really fun journey. Fucking stand-up is way harder no fucking doubt.
Yeah.
It is so much harder. Because, like, I was talking about, I got fucking six teammates making me look good. Hey.
And there's got to be moments when you're building scenes where the audience isn't anxious for a laugh, or you're not feeling anxious because there hasn't been a laugh. You're just kind of building characters and starting to build situations that will pay off later.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience is very patient towards that. When you're standing up there and for 70 seconds no one's got a laugh in, It's kind of like you better be very compelling. And be like laying down some real knowledge and some real, you know, that you're going to make funny in a minute. Otherwise, fuck off the stage.
I do have a bit where, I talk about, like, the story about Bill Gates.
Yeah.
You know, like the supposed myth or whatever. And I fucking get really into it. And my cadence is really precise and deep. And, you know, like, I just started talking like that for, like, 3 minutes. And it's just this very long and drawn out, kind of like my explanation right now. But the end is like an anti-joke. It's like, it's a joke, but it's totally not worth, like, I really did string people along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so now the joke is that fucking, like, other comics that have heard it before, laughing at everyone else that's entrenched.
Me and my friend Jeff Reeves, we used to do this thing growing up in high school where we would just hijack someone's ear and go, I'm going to tell you the funniest joke ever.
Right.
And then the joke would be like, this long drawn out story of this father and son. He was like trying to be the fastest swimmer, you know. Then his dad was, like reading really intense literature. And it was just a long drawn out story that really made no sense. And at the end, it was like, here's the punchline. And then the dad said, hey, you got a nice wiener. That was it. It was just the objective was
of
to
dumb.
Hijack.
Yeah. Like it's, that kind of joke, like, it's funny. It's funnier to the person doing it because
It
is a total gotcha, you know, rather than like.
It's like the Andy Kaufman style of just you're making it arduous
The joke is the person who sat and listened to you.
Yeah.
That's the real joke, and that's why the person who listens doesn't appreciate it. When you start thinking of jokes like this, it's fucking weird now, you know?
Because people are, they've get jokes now.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, set up, punch, tag, tag. Set up, punch, tag, tag.
Yeah.
So fucking boring, just over and over and over again, the same shit.
What's been really helpful, even though I have a job I don't say I hate, but I'm just like, this isn't me. But
what's your day job?
I'm a pest control technician. But
You're an exterminator.
I'm an exterminator. I'm a field technician for a pest control service. But I drive, like, 90% of my job is driving. I arachnids, insects, rodents, birds even. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What's the biggest animal that you are in charge of controlling?
Ugh.
Hawks? Well, like a nest of hawks?
Oh, no, that's animal control. They could take care of that shit. I'm talking about, like, pigeons that, like, perch up on your doorway and shit everywhere, you know?
And like, dangerous spiders or anything like that?
I mean, rats are what I fucking hate. In April... This is my latest like thing I had to do.
Yeah. At least you get outside, man. Like I'm in a fucking cubicle. But go on. I'm sure it's very dangerous.
I miss the cubicle. You guys, fucking people talking shit on cubicles. Fucking don't know what they mean. Fucking I've had a cubicle job. I miss that shit. I ain't fucking look at my head. I'm taking my hat off.
Yeah.
Two different colors. Josh Nichols points this shit out all the fucking time. Like my neck and my head are like it's like a black and tan. You know what I mean? Like that That is my, that's, I don't, I, for some reason, I'm fucking, I, it gets me wildly uncomfortable all the time, and now I have, like, I get one of those hats that's, it's like a...
What makes you wildly uncomfortable?
I just don't like the fact that I'm, like, two pigmentations on my neck, because I think about shit like skin cancer.
The back of your neck has, because you wear a hat all the time?
It's not aesthetically, it's just, like, fucking what's happening to my skin, you know?
So you have, like, farmer's tan on your head from your
hat. Yeah, I fucking hate it. I don't, like, yeah, like, yeah. I hate it.
So just, you know, you got it. It's a
but
podcast.
I'm fucking,
you have to
I shave.
Fully explain exactly what you hate.
I shave my head, folks. Like, I am, like, and I just have a beard, but my head and my neck are, like, fucking glass.
Descriptive.
There we go. But, yeah, and I don't know. It's just, like, because I think of, like, skin cancer, and so it just weirds me out.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
mean.
Because I used to be in a cubicle. I was fucking, people call me powder. You know, because I would get to work as the sun was just coming up, and I'm probably leaving after it's already down. So it's like, I don't see the daylight.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a window, but I have the fucking... I miss that, man. But my point is, now that I drive everywhere...
Yeah.
Is, like, I get to listen to all these podcasts.
Yeah.
And all these podcasts, to me, are, like, history lessons or philosophy courses in comedy, be it improv or stand-up, and hearing life stories and just, like, getting an idea of the geography, the topography of, like... L.A. in the 80s, New York in the 90s, you know, the internet, like, who had the first comedy podcast, you know, and these other comedians, like, culminating, like, cultivating followings out of, you know, their subscribers. How that changes the way that, like, fans go to see shows now.
Absolutely.
Like, I find all that really fascinating. Comedy just has, like...
I love this art form. I think that comedy as an art form is constantly evolving. Like, and no offense to Lenny Bruce or whatever, he was the most amazing comic of his time. But you listen to his stuff, not that great. But he pushed, and he was part of a big push on the bell curve. And I think it just gets better and better and better and better.
Fucking vaudeville was shit. People fucking, like, didn't even realize. Vaudeville was, like, the fucking hack. Everyone had joke books. They had the same fucking jokes. They were going town to town and telling these, my wife, and they're all doing it. That's when, like, you know...
But that blew people's minds. I mean, that was comedy.
Yeah, because they were fucking traveling through town and fucking, like, I've never seen this before. He's, like, the fucking local... guy who rolls up in a wagon.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've got some snake oil. It's, like, the same fucking kind of, you know...
But, like, if you look at Blazing Saddles, that's still a funny movie. But if you look at Borat, I mean, Borat is magnitudes and magnitudes times funnier than
Saddles. And there's also, like, revolutionary comedies or movies even that don't even hold up after a while. That's fine. Like, you ever see, like, holy shit, Tim Burton's Batman? You seen that?
It's so great.
It's great, but have you seen it lately? Like, you watch it recently? No. Try it. Try it sometime, man.
I just see
if you still say that. It's fucking weird. It's weird.
It's creepy.
I like the Batman Returns better, but...
What I like is, in the old days, when fucking Tim Burton made that Batman with fucking... What's his face? What's the guy's name in it?
Jack Nicholson? Michael Keaton?
Yeah. Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
They had, like, stuntmen, like, actually risking their lives.
That's...
Instead of a CGI bullshit, every time a car hit somebody, they CGI people.
CGI needs to be layered on. Like, people get shot and there's, like, CGI blood. I'm like, what the... Oh, come on.
I know.
Get a blood pack, you bitch.
There's CGI fire, like, when a house burns down, it's CGI fire because it's cheaper than burning down a house.
Yeah,
that's usually... No, burn down a house. I want entertainment. I want something to explode.
Like, there's a lot of fucking shitty comedy in open mics. And I know it's, like...
Controversial. You're very controversial. Eric Wargo, let me ask you...
Controversy. I welcome it.
Let me switch... turn the tables around.
All right. Interview. Am I hosting now? All right. Eric Hollenbeck, where were you?
No.
Oh, what?
You have been hosting. I'm telling you to shut up for 1 second so I can actually ask you a question.
Got you, man. Your show.
So, you're 33.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah?
Don't tell me.
You're just hanging out with a bunch of... you just played a nice improv show.
Yeah.
Had a good improv show. You did well. Is this whole thing of comedy, to you, chasing the dragon of fame and fortune, or is this thing more of just like a lot of people do karate, you know? Not everyone's in the UFC. I do comedy, you know?
Fame, not so much as, let's say, I don't want to say notoriety or respect or fucking ego
shit.
What
do you want to say? You get a list of words you don't want to say.
Okay.
How about you start saying some words?
All right, Your Honor. Holy fuck. I'm in the hot seat, ladies and gentlemen. The way you listen to this podcast, don't be like, man, you're fucking playing softball. No, Eric Hollenbeck means business.
I got notes, people.
I want to fucking... Okay.
I got things to say.
It's like, I want to make a fucking... I'll make a dent in... Like, all the stuff I geek out over, I want to make a dent just as big as what those guys have meant to me.
So you... Because you're...
But I want to be able to eat a sandwich, you know, when I want. You know, that's the other thing.
So, like, you're ready to sell out, but you would like to make a ripple in the timeline of comedy that other nerds can geek out about what you did.
I would not...
What is that ripple? What is that contribution? Are we just two other privileged white people who just think everyone should listen to us?
Are you
out of ego? Is that what's going on here?
Is that what you're implying, sir?
I'm saying that's probably what's going on for me, but I'm not sure.
I want
someone else to say it out loud.
Here's the thing. Some of my heroes... Okay, look. A lot of my heroes are the guys that just do a lot of shit. You know, like... People... Like, he hasn't done an album or a movie I've enjoyed anytime recently, but, like, say, like, Rob Zombie, right? You know, fucking band. He directs movies. He fucking makes comic books. Like, cartoons. You know what I mean? He's like... What do I want to fucking do today? I said it earlier, like, Chris Hardwick, he does sort of the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be a producer, and I don't fucking care if anyone knows my fucking name, I don't care if I don't have two houses, I just want to be able to, like, at some point, yeah, I would like to have, like, be able to support a family doing what I love. I guess, like, my end game right now is, like, write or produce a show during the day, and go do improv or stand up at night, sleep in a bed with a wife.
So you want to
get a kid through school.
You want to pitch a show, get a show on air.
Sure.
What kind of show?
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna fucking just pitch my fucking ideas.
Oh, okay,
show.
Okay.
But I got so ideas.
You got ideas. You're
probably.
Ideas.
I mean, expand upon. I have a podcast right now, Blammo. Probably expand on that. And fucking, why not
turn Blammo into a series?
Well,
I'm blowing your pitch right now.
Oh, you're blowing my pitch. No, I would like to do Blammo on YouTube. I think it'd be fun. Like, Blammo's my podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I interview comedians such as yourself.
Yeah.
I interview musicians. I play music from such
musicians. Although we have to go on the record and say you have not officially asked me to be a guest on Blammo.
It is a very slow stewing process, and I'm very selective. But, it's not... This month, I have no plan. I didn't even bring my recorder. I have no plans to do it right now, because... Here's the thing. Pest control in the summer fucking works me to the bone. And that's kind of one thing I'm scared about, is... I'm doing less comedy now, because I have to fucking do more work to pay my fucking bills.
Yeah.
It's fucking unfortunate, and...
Is it because of gas prices?
Gas prices...
It's because of the bankers.
Ugh...
The Illuminatos.
I will say student loans and my poor car negotiating skills.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Cal State Fullerton. Radio, TV, film major.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the shit for real, son.
Yeah. Did you grow up
real
in
fucking
the OC?
Deep debt. You know, in LA.
When you, other than pest control, when you had a cubicle job, what was that?
I worked, when you're on an airplane, you got movies, you got music.
Yeah.
Television, video games.
Yeah.
I worked for a company that was a middleman between that, and that's really what got me...
They distributed... They were the post-production company and...
Yeah.
That would... They take the movie files into a certain res and specification for the...
Yeah, plan. Yeah. There's a lot of companies out here like that. You know, they progressively got more into the post-production end, but, like, in the beginning, they were more about facilitating license agreements, stuff like that. So, I don't know, just, like, being around movies and TV and music all day, it's just, like... I was thinking of going into accounting, seriously. And then it wasn't until, like, I was, like, 25 that I just, you know, said fuck it and just went back to college. I had to do that first. And then kind of, like, once, like, right after I graduated college, I just hit the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, like, all the energy I focused on going to school just went into studying stand-up. So that's kind of been, like, the past year. And it's fucking hard, people.
It's a grind.
It's a grind. It's like, but it's
almost like, we're comedians in LA, open mic comics in LA, work so hard that it's almost like a cult. Like, it's almost like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I work as hard as maybe as like an Egyptian slave putting a pyramid together. Only the pyramid is a very mediocre stand-up open mic.
You're doing the flappers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How's that going? Because I saw you at Liquid Zoo, and then like the next week I saw you're like, I got a regular gig at Flappers. I was like, oh fuck, well okay. I went by your house and everything. I was like, where's fucking not here? All right.
Oh
yeah.
Oh.
You're like right next to it. Is that neighborhood safe? I hear a lot of shitty fucking stuff goes down.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
There's a hooker run. You know, like...
Oh, great.
Like, I saw a pimp, like, drop a minivan full of hookers, like, right in front of
like
my
real house.
Like,
a whole pack
house.
Of hookers just fucking,
oh,
like...
Oh, yeah. What advice would you give to someone who wanted to live the life of a stand-up comedian in L.A.? They're like...
Look, I'm a coordinator.
I gotta be a comedian!
Look, bro, spider in your studio. Right here we go. It's descending right there by my fingers pointing, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. Oh, dude.
You learned my technique. You punch. He just punched a spider. Good work.
What advice would you give to people moving to L.A. To be a comic?
Don't fucking do it. Get a job in Orange County. It's safer. There's less crazy homeless people.
Yeah.
It's expensive, granted, but maybe you find a fucking really good job. Perhaps no. Then I don't know. It's tough, man. I think I have a mental problem. That's why I do this.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
It's like a syndrome.
I make my dad so fucking nervous that I'm not like doing the cubicle like businessman stuff. Which business interests me, but it's I don't know. Like my dad worked really hard. Like, you know, he gave me the speech of, like, look, my father made more money than his father, and I did more money than him, so I'm kind of looking to you to kind of, I'm the oldest of my brothers.
Right.
And it's, like, to be, he's, like, success is money, where I'm success is happiness, and I don't want to fucking live in squalor. So, it's sort of, like, why, you know, like, I work 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to make sales to make extra money, mm-hmm. you know, there's commission, I cook at home more, I don't fucking go to, you know, fast food restaurants, I fucking make food, which, you know, when you do physical labor, it is very exhausting, you gotta be smart with how you eat.
I love how you're talking about this, because I think so much of success in Los Angeles and as a comic is about good fiscal sense. It's the only way you're gonna last long enough to. Oh,
yeah,
you have to really
be good with money. And I'm barely saving, dude. Like, like I have debt. Like, it's just like get rid of the debt. I can't save money until I get rid of debt.
I'm sure everyone's in that thing, but it really is a numbers game. It's like you first step one, get good.
Yeah.
And by get good, you have to train at the UCB New York or LA.
Yeah.
And maybe also if you want to do stand up, take stand up class at Gotham in New York City and try to get passed at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
That's what you should be if you're in New York. But anyway, but it's like part of living and building those skills up is like, you know, being able to keep a stable environment. You can't like really couch surf and, you know, you gotta get your UCB class once
a week.
You gotta train, you know.
Yeah. I did the four levels at UCB.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and do their advanced study and the sketch program, and you know, writing sketch would be fun. So I hear they teach you how to like put a package together, you know, and pitch, and this is how you conduct yourself in a writing room. When I'm sure it's all shits and giggles still, but what? Like, I'm probably never gonna be a great stand-up, but you know, I host a show in my backyard. We sell tacos and beer with donations, and you know, you should come down and do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
fun.
And I get to network with comedians. Like, comedians, like, hear about the spot, and they're like, oh, what's up? And they find out, like, oh, I live here? Oh, okay, yeah, shake my hand. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah, I'll talk to you on Facebook, you know, and I take photos and I post them.
It's just a good lifestyle.
It's a fun lifestyle, and my fucking landlord loves it. He's the guy chopping it up on the taco cart, serving it up. And fucking, we put a speaker right by him, and he's cracking up as he's making tacos.
Yeah.
And fucking, my roommates love comedy, but they're never the types to, like, just get up on mic. They'd rather fucking slit their throats, you know?
I will definitely do that show.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
I'd love to play.
It's random Saturdays, usually once a month in Tustin. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do the next one.
Thunder Goat.
On my site. Yeah. What's that? What we're talking about also is really inspiring because recently, you know, I'm really into Kenny Hotz. Like, he's one of my comedy gurus.
He did
Kenny versus Spenny, which I think is the funniest show ever.
I haven't heard that or seen it.
Yeah, you just YouTube Kenny versus Spenny. It's just two adult guys. One of their competitions was who can blow the biggest fart, and they had like they would fart into a meter that would read out a digital thing of this fart was, you know what I mean? The funniest fucking shit ever. And then you watch them try to blow. You know, they're eating beads. They're just trying to blow the biggest fart.
I want
to
do some Channel 101 shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that stuff? That stuff blows my mind. How funny and fast, and just to the point. Those videos are
maybe
brilliant.
I should have put Damien Shadows on Channel 101.
You can try it out, man. Like,
maybe I'll do that.
Just at least get one showing.
But anyway, yeah. Kenny Hotz, when he was before Kenny vs. Spenny, was living in a garage in Venice, paying, you know, with broke as shit, with nothing and, you know, made it happen. So, like, he was, you know, living in a hot garage with no AC in Venice like a fucking bum. And, you know, now he's had a very successful career. Now he's, you know, on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's Kenny fucking Hotz. He's a legend. And, you know, he went through that time. I think, you know, that's part of the lifestyle. You have to, like be ready to be, like, my means of living, it will be sacrificed.
Yeah.
For the sacrament of the comedy god, you know. What?
Like, I've just been staying in, huddling under a blanket watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. I haven't been writing jokes. I haven't been going to clubs because it's just, like, I don't fucking want to stress out about it. Comedy, like, I had this festival tonight, that was the only thing I wanted to think about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did great.
Yeah, but it's like that's the weird depression of, even though you had a great night now, it's like coming off of the show, you're like, oh well, I don't have anything planned next.
Dude.
You know, it's like, it's just such a grind. It's like, if you feel guilty if you don't write for a week, if you're just trying to recharge your fucking battery, you know.
Here's the thing about stand-up, it was a fucking blow to my gut, was like, and I don't know, I've only had, like, one really big show, but it was, like, Brea Improv. That was awesome. And my friends came out.
Yeah.
And fucking, like, I didn't bomb. In fact, I was pretty funny, you know, which was nice. Only for 7 minutes. I'm not gonna fucking act like I fucking, you know, held their attention for 15.
Seven minutes is good.
Yeah, no, like, it was fine. And all my friends came out, they're like, oh, that was fucking great. I was like, oh, you know, like, for, like, an hour, I was just, like, thanking friends for coming out outside the place. Mm-hmm. And then they went away. And I fucking had nothing going on. I didn't fucking have it. Like, there's no... Like nothing was happening. And I just felt, like, so fucking weightless. Mm-hmm. And just, like, in an abyss, dude.
So
it was
like
sucked.
Peaks and valleys of stand-up.
Dude, I got so fucking hyped up on the juice of my friends.
I know what you mean. Like,
Coming down was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
People don't understand. When you're in front of a room and you are in the fucking zone,
ugh,
and everything you say, you can lead them to, and then just crack them with a line.
Yeah.
When you're really feeling that vibe and you're in it, it's so
I'm
crazy.
I'm scared to fucking, dude, I'm scared
when,
to do it again.
When you're single and alone in a bed after that, you're like... It's very Tears of a Clown. There's no way that a single guy doing
talking,
that,
yeah,
you know, the come down is.
Clown, yeah.
That's why you need, you know, beer and porn. Do you identify as a hipster?
No, but people fucking like to paint me with kind of a broad brush, I guess.
You've been accused of being a hipster.
I guess, yeah. I have glasses because I have a vision problem. I work with my hands, so I kind of need like a thicker frame.
It is kind of almost like a postmodern ironic job to look like you and be an exterminator.
I got a job as an exterminator because when I go to college, semester to semester.
What kind of training did you get in different pests?
I got a copy of the test, so I just memorized the answers. And you take a state-funded test. By the way, I hate this shit, by the way. This is another reason I'd rather do comedy and struggle with comedy, is because this is the alternative. I had to dig a dead pregnant cat out from the crawl space of a dentist's office at night. I've never been scared of monsters, like, in my 30s. That was a new fucking thing.
But it's terrifying.
It's fucking horrifying.
You have to crawl.
You have to be the guy
that crawls into the pit to get the dead
cat. I took a shovel and a net. Like a butterfly, like the kind of net they used to catch crazy people in the 40s.
Yeah.
I went underneath there. I had a light on my head.
Yeah.
And I just played my favorite music on my fucking iPod and just fucking...
Yeah.
I had a gas mask and goggles.
Yeah.
And I'm crawling and I'm going across like rusty pipe and other pipes that are broken and jagged and don't work for shit. I go to the dead pregnant cat. It's fucking... I tapped it on the side of the stomach with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And it went tink, tink, tink. Because the skin had fucking... petrified because it's fucking dead, and I placed the net next to it. It also bloated up too. That was the other thing. Pretty fucking huge. We thought it was a dog when we first went in there. So I take the shovel.
So how'd they know about the cat? Was it
they
was
thought
it the smell or
it
did
smelled
they,
bad?
They knew.
Oh,
that
it
the
smells
cat,
like I know what death smells like.
They had a
it's
pregnant
fucking
cat.
Fucking the worst smell.
So they had a pregnant cat and then they lost it and then they smelt it.
No, this
from
is just a feral animal. Yeah.
We have an alley cat, too, in our front yard that, like, lives in...
I don't take care of cats, if that's what yeah.
Who is Utatu the Watcher?
Uatu.
Who's that?
Uatu the Watcher! It's from Marvel Comics, and he hosts Geek League at Stages Theater in Fullerton. I've already turned off half your audience. I'm sorry, man.
No, so what is your... What is...
Geek League. Geek League. Okay.
Tell me about Geek League.
This is one of the things I love about doing improv in Orange County, is I can... Like, there's so many avenues to, like, just do a show. Like, you don't have to just, like... It's not just a, like, I want to be in an improv show. It's like, I want to fucking produce an improv show. Like, so Geek League... One thing I noticed from just doing improv in Orange County is, like, I know a lot of players that go to Comic-Con, they go to WonderCon, they go to Anime Expo. Mm-hmm. They go to all this stuff, and they dress up, they fucking Halloween, their costumes are, like, crazy. And then there's just, like, theatrical... I mean, there's, like, drama people. They have access to costumes. And then I myself have a discount at a local costume, warehouse. So I can get stuff on the cheap. And so it's like, why not do like a cosplay improv show? And I'm not even into cosplay. I just see like a vacuum, like, hey, this is a thing no one's doing.
I know we don't want to pitch reality shows.
All right.
Because you have, like, you want to be a producer of shows, you know, but you want to keep them off mic so that, you know, no one is like, hey, my name is Susan, and I want to do the show called Blammo with Eric Wargo. I'm going to steal that show. So that's why you can't like, put your
good
ideas
luck using
up.
The name. Yeah,
I want to pitch a show to you.
Yeah.
You're an exterminator by day.
Uh-huh.
And you have a food truck that serves, like, goat cheese crepes.
It's more of a taco
something.
Cart, but yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just follow me around. I don't think I'm that interesting. It's more like... Me, like,
but
looking in the mirror, like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
No, but you would be the voice of a generation, because you'd be ironically detached and hate yourself the whole time.
I'm not that ironically detached from stuff, am I?
You would just, like, angstily...
Oh, man.
I'm just ripping into you right
now.
Oh,
because my hipsterness. I wear glasses because I have a vision problem. Like, I wear the hard frames because I work with my fucking hands. I'm bald. Like, I'm not going to grow my hair out and have the cul-de-sac in my head.
Right.
I'm going to shave my head because it looks better.
Yeah, I know.
But if I shave my head, I got to wear a hat. The kind of hats I have to wear, I would love to wear, like, a baseball cap or something. I don't fucking watch sports. I tried wearing an A's cap, and everyone wants to talk to me about baseball. I don't fucking know anything about what's happening in baseball. So I have to wear, like, fucking flat caps. I'm not going to wear a fucking bowler cap or a fedora because fuck that douchebaggery. Like, flat caps are the only thing I fucking look decent. It's fucking, I have punk roots. So, I feel kind of like, okay, fucking, like, I don't know. There's still a bit of, like, style to it, but... And then I wear baggy jeans. Chuck Taylors are fucking timeless. Everyone fucking... That's not hardly a fucking... Hey, if you hear about these Chuck Taylors, no one's fucking wearing them.
Is it... I know for me, I'm starting to lose my hair. Is it like... It's like, you know, traumatic.
It is, but... Like, see, you're just like, you're getting, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
See? There it goes.
But you guys still got more than me, man. I seriously, if I grow my, I am scared to death of what I look like if I grow my shit out. I've never grown it out. I just know, like, oh, I'm going bald, fuck it. And then, like, before long, you know, I have peach fuzz, but it's just like, just the other day I shaved. Actually, no, I shaved today. But I was recording a video, and then I had, like, the camera, like, facing my back. So I was doing, like, a green screen thing or whatever, and I saw the video myself from behind. I just saw my hair growing in, and then where it's not growing in. I was like, ah, fuck, no, make it go away. I don't fucking like it, so
yeah.
There's no turning back now. I'm fucking, that's, and that just adds into the two colors on my neck and my head.
Yeah, yeah. I am so glad we're talking about this, because I've been doing so much research in fixing my issue that I'm going to just dump a bunch of research that I've done right now.
Okay. You wanna Aaron Collarback exclusive
let's
here?
Let's start actually getting into the topic of baldness, okay? Because this is something I don't like talking about, obviously, because it's painful and traumatic to be losing your hair. So, you know, no one likes to... It's not like, oh, that's a real sign of vitality.
It's, okay.
You know? And girls are like, oh, you know what? I want that genetic fails blasted up my vagina. No.
I'll say the baldness only works because of the beardness.
Right.
Which, like, I'm not a huge... I normally do have a beard, but it's, like, different stages at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, as long as I have like a little stubble going.
Right, right.
It
then,
works.
Then, yeah, I guess it is how you wear it. But,
yeah, I will say the hipster tag applies more when my beard is long. Which
let's go through a couple things. All Rogaine, right. That is an oily
horse shit.
You tried Rogaine?
I tried Rogaine. Look at me now. It fucking did nothing for me.
Didn't work. Now
it worked. I'll tell you something. It worked out.
I understand that Rogaine is a steroid, a topical steroid that's very oily and greasy that you kind of have to like massage into your head once or twice a day.
Yeah.
And so I hate feeling greasy. Hate going. I don't like even going to the beach because then you have the suntan oil and then you get sandy. And now my day is ruined.
Right.
My day is absolutely ruined. Mm-hmm. I can't be oily and sandy. It's so uncomfortable that, you know, I'm a city person. I can't handle that.
I did, like head massagers with, you know, tea tree oil. I still have tea tree oil.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff is... I've had the same tea tree oil for fucking 3 years, and I use it frequently.
Massaging tea tree oil into your head to grow your hair?
Nothing. Yeah, it did nothing.
Yeah?
Okay. Here's where I dropped it. Here's where I said... Here's the point where, get a load of this. This is like, plugs I hear fucking hurt like a bitch, and I don't fucking want to do that.
Yeah.
But where I draw the line was I fucking did the fucking laser shit.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking load of snake oil. I can't even fucking believe I fell for that shit. Fucking, they brought me in, they made me watch some like, they're like, here's some stuff, you know, here's some information on our product. And it was sold as like...
So you went to a...
No, hold up. It was sold as like local action news. We come to you now with this new treatment that's happening. And it's like this nondescript, like KPFX6. You know, like, what channel, where is this? You know, I don't think it was a real... Actually, no, there was...
It was an infomercial there was, made to look like a fucking newscast.
It wasn't even... Yeah, it was... I don't think it's considered an infomercial. It's a fucking fake thing. But, like, I wanted to believe it so bad. I was like, fucking don't worry about it. You know? And
so you went to a salon and then you sit under a hive of lasers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they fucking stock it full of, like, pretty flirty girls.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of dudes with... I look around, there's, like, a bunch of sad dudes. Like, oh, I'm here to get my... I'm in the waiting room to get my hair lasered.
Yeah.
And you just sit, and this fucking thing comes down in your head, and for 20 minutes, just... I did it on my lunch break, like, twice a week. Yeah. And, like, it's fucking... Like... Once I just said, like, fuck it, what am I doing? Like, I still had hair at that point. I didn't start shaving it yet. And once I did, it just...
And those are expensive treatments.
Yeah, I just stopped going to the place. I didn't even complete my year treatment. Right. Nothing was fucking happening. Like, let's say I started in January. By, like, October, like, nothing was fucking happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, like, once you're done by the end, by December, you'll be all good. And, like, nothing was fucking happening. And I'm like, I don't know. I had a huge debt, you know, for that. I paid that off, but it's... That's just where, like, once I realized how dumb that was, it was a lot easier just to fucking, like, shave my head and just be me. Like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not fucking Quasimodo, you know?
Yeah. It's tough, okay. Though. But there's also, I went to have a Bosley consultation. Bosley is, like, the, you know, premier. They have infomercials about, you know, hair restoration. It's very mysterious how exactly that works. And then they go... Well, what we want to do is we want to cut a piece of meat out the back of your head, like a strip of your skin.
Nope.
And then we're going to take with like some kind of tweezers to get the hair off of that, one graft at a time. And then we're going to plug the back of your head hair into the top. And there's going to be massive shedding after we do that. Some of your hair that would have fallen out is going to fall out. But then after 6 months, everything will cycle back in and it'll grow. And then I saw a picture on the internet of someone undergoing this procedure. And there's just a strip of bare, you know, flesh in the back of the guy's head. I'm like, this is self-mutilation. This is like a fucking African chick getting her clit chopped off. You know, it's like, this is self-mutilation.
You just made my clit cringe, like, really bad.
You know what I mean? In the hopes of putting rings on your neck and stretching your neck out. It's like, it's like self-mutilization for beauty. There's another thing.
It's a lot like comedy.
Another thing called the California Stem Cell company or research. California Stem Cell Treatment Center.
Right.
That's it. California Stem Cell Treatment Center.
Ding.
It's out in like Santa Ana or some shit. It's fucking far as shit. But they do a stem cell treatment. And this is brand fucking new. And what they do is they take some of your blood and or they do a little liposuction. But it's hard. But that's, they don't get a lot, only a tablespoon. But that's to harvest T cells. And then they take raw T cells and then they centrifuge it out. And then they shoot growth, hair growth shit into your head. And you have to go six times for them to, I guess you only have to donate your blood and your blubber once.
Oh,
and then
my
they
blubber.
Have a harvest of it. And then you'd go every, like, you know, every 6 weeks and they take a syringe and like Botox it up in your head. And then that's supposed to grow.
I don't, I'm done fucking with my face.
It's so ridiculous.
A three blade razor.
Mach 3.
That's the Mach 3. That's the only one that fucking matters. Take it to the dome. Fucking grow your beard. Whatever length you want.
Yeah.
Trim it. Fucking style it. Whatever the fuck. That's your thing. And just be you. Don't fucking worry. When I started going bald, you know what fucking I was doing? I was running my fingers through my hair like, how many now? Is it better now? Oh, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Why is it getting worse? And I just keep grabbing my fucking hair. You know, like, not like grabbing hard, but just like, you know, going through, touch my fingers together, pull out, and
yeah.
And it's just like fucking, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy, man. Like,
and what's more arbitrary than like whether or not you have the gene that grows hair or not?
Well, my grandfather, then it's like,
you know,
well, yeah. take heart in this. Take heart in this.
Yeah.
Lots of testosterone is why it happens.
I'm the hot-blooded American boy.
Yeah. You're a real man. You just need to show everyone how much of a real man you are with a full head of hair.
Yeah, one you
can, like, get out of a pool and, like, wipe back, you know? Like, with confidence. Well,
the shit they poison our brain with to make us insecure. And when I'm saying they, you know who you are. OK Cupid. I used to be on OK Cupid.
Why OK Cupid?
Sorry, man. I'm just fucking with you. You know, I'm from New Jersey.
I had a brown out for a second.
I'm from New Jersey, so like I have just an abrasive personality.
I have a bit of a
reputation for this as well.
So. No, this is why I get you, man. This is why I get you. Okay, I saw a comic strip. It explains East West Coast perfectly. I fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first panel. It says New York, right? It's two people walking down the street, right? Picture someone coming down this way.
Mm-hmm.
Two people walking down the street, New York. The guy says, fuck you. But he's got a thought bubble at the same time. It says, hello.
Mm-hmm.
And then Los Angeles, two people walking towards each other. Hello. And then his thought bubble says, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of a thing where, like, yeah, East Coast people are very real. They speak their mind.
We let it hang out there, and then we suffer the consequence.
You suffer the consequence. Ever out here, out in L.A., everyone is, in fact, worried about burning bridges.
You know, I'm sure you've probably heard me on the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
It's one of my favorite shows.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm very, like, miffed about what I should do next time, because it's almost like I've built this character where all I do
is... Don't tell me it's a character. I want it to be real.
All right. Well, okay. All I do is try to top myself of whatever I did last time, I'm going to take it harder. And I'm going to take it... It's getting to the point I'm going to have to start murdering people to top myself. Like, I don't know. I have to either start punching people or... You know what I mean? Like, how can I heighten from here?
I'll say this. It's a very hard task to heighten against something that's stationary. You know, like, Josh isn't heightening anything. He's sort of like... He's holding on to his shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, this is how I am. You know? That's my best impression. But,
I think you need to blubber more. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
That's how I am.
So. Even improv. No. He's underwater in that part. No, but, like, Josh isn't heightening shit. So, like I saw...
talk like you're gargling your jowls.
I've given 1,000 hand jobs.
Bragging.
I'm blessed. I can make my wife come, like, in a minute. She's actually achieved orgasm blowing me.
He's my coach, man.
With your sleep apnea voice.
Like, the time I hooked up with my girlfriend's sister, they were like, no, man, she was all over you.
I would say.
Oh, that's...
Heightening might be the wrong agenda.
Right, I see what
you know
you're
what
saying.
I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You put out that when you talk that much.
What
shit
is your What is your goal though? Like, I guess is the thing. Like, is it his destruction or like, are you trying to expose him? Like, Woodward Bernstein no. here. Like, I've got the scoop on Josh.
Well, what we're doing is we're just all it is entertainment. Yeah. That's yeah. what it is.
I find great joy in anything self indulgent. I think so Sean's one of my favorite like yeah. local podcasts. You know
He's
what I mean?
Great.
Yeah, and plus it's awesome. I have access to a show. So.
Okay.
Hit me.
Is it me being funny or is it me having an anger problem sometimes? Because there's a fine line because sometimes I get genuinely angry and I'm just screaming okay. my opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have a dude accent carved on the mean streets of Sandwich. You know, this is my... I don't sound like a hick do-nothing who never left his hometown, who, you know, is just very content with a very mediocre life. Sorry.
You know so much about me.
And, you know, maybe a more balanced person who,
What example is this?
Was, though? Like, looked at by a doctor would be given a medication and wouldn't be screaming on a podcast. You know what I mean? Well, there was one time where, you know, I told Josh Nichol or James Diekman, like, the first guy I was fighting with.
Right.
That, like, his name is Jake Diekman.
Diekman. Yeah.
James or Jake?
It's Jake Diekman.
I think it's James, though.
I'm positive.
But
it's Jake.
When I was screaming at him, like, I was, like, making a joke, like, you know, you should kill yourself. And then I was thinking, like, he's a veteran soldier, you know, there's a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder, uh-huh. and plus, you never know what the fuck is going on in someone's life. You can't just scream at someone that you wish that they would kill themselves.
Invest in something to end your life. Real.
I don't say that. I don't say that, Deepin. I love you.
This is where reality meets delusion, my friend. You gotta prepare, you gotta... Come at me, swing and dick, otherwise you're going to forfeit real quick. And that's right.
Like, what kind of person?
I did that on Josh's old podcast. They called in and were just, you know, like, this guy sucks. You need to stop taking calls from him, whatever. And so I called in, I just said, hey, kill yourself, you know, to this guy. Just called in. And as soon as I did that, I was like, that was really mean.
Yeah.
And so I texted the guy, I'm like, you're going to hear something on Josh's show that I just want you to know it's in the spirit of the context of the show and the discussion.
I hope
you find it as funny as I intended, which at that point wasn't very funny because I felt bad enough to like tell him like that was a little much, you know.
That's the thing. It's like some of it is just holding a brave face, even though you're I'm not sure if I should have said that or not. You know, it's like
I think
you know.
Well,
because our job as a comedian is to constantly push the envelope and see what else we can kind of get away with and try something that no one's done before. And one of those things that no one's done before is, like, be super fucking mean, you know, in a real way. And you know what I mean? I feel like, look, I was raised
in... Is it mean, though? Because it's like...
In a dysfunctional family in which we would, like, go after each other like this. Like, I just want to get my point out and just scream, like, the meanest shit at each other when I was... So I'm, like, taking that skill, those horrible traumatic experiences and turning it into, like, a style of comedy.
I think to be, like, the abrasive, angry comic, like, shining lights of truth and fiery justice on everything... there's crowds for that. You know, I've told, like, horrible... one night I did a joke, like, I had a friend who committed suicide. And it's just, like, there's this funny anecdote I mentioned about it. And it fucking killed in this room of, I don't want to say degenerate, but you know what I mean? The fucking, like, more the Stanhope variety than, say, the Paul F. Tompkins variety.
Right. I just don't like when comics get up there and they talk about their crippling depression, like... Like, if you tell a joke about a friend committing suicide, that's different than, like, your failed attempt at killing yourself because... And then your joke is like, not worth it. You're bumming me out, asshole. Why don't you tell some fucking jokes, cocksucker? Well, maybe you wouldn't be so sad.
I've been guilty of it once or twice, but I think a lot of people just go up there with just looking like, fuck, I just want to vent. And, like, you know, some shit works and some stuff is just like, oh, fuck, shut up.
Or, it is therapeutic to, like, you know, get something off your chest in a joke. But then again, it's like, what are you up there for? For the audience, you know? I want to talk about OkCupid. I used to be on OkCupid.
Right.
But then, you know, I had like a philosophical reason to just pull everything off. Because, okay. I was interested in getting a puppy from the pound. So I was into like looking at a bunch of puppies and pounds and seeing if I would adopt one. I was looking for a very specific dog. And you're looking through pictures and pictures of just sad dogs sitting there looking for love. You know? Just needing a home.
Sarah McLachlan playing.
Yeah. I'm a sad little puppy. I just need a home. When you're scrolling through OkCupid, you're looking at real humans with a real way to contact them going, I just want love.
Oh, yeah.
And when my real photograph is on OkCupid, it's like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then I have the come down from a good show, and then I'm sit alone, and I'm like, my photo or my love life is a sad little picture, like a puppy dog. I just want a home.
Take
me home, mama.
It's like building a resume.
Fucking ridiculous.
I was using a Let's Date app. Okay, it's an app, right? So let's say I have my iPad.
Yeah.
And I'm just going through, and it just shows you, like, faces, right?
Yeah.
And people in your range and the interests or whatever. And it's just, like, it just starts off with the profile picture. If you tap it twice, you can flip it around and see some more pictures. But there's that first picture, right? And just how, like, no swipe. But it asks you this question before you swipe. Like, let's say I'm like, no, I'm not interested. What do you not like about this profile? Face swipe. Like, it's just because, like, that's the first impression. And it's smart that they did that because that's what a lot of people go on, I guess. But it's just, like, when you do it, it draws this line, like a no sign, like across their face.
Yeah, and that's a real person.
That's a person. You're just like, no, and you draw a fucking line. Like, no.
Okay, but also, so...
You can do it across, like, other things, like, oh, Republican, meh, or whatever, but...
But that app, you know, for straight people, like, oh, who's in my area, you know, is very not as effective as the gays have their Grindr. Now,
I hear that works like gangbusters.
This is what I'm hearing.
Is this
left,
a
right,
Grindr
and
stop? Is this
now? I have some gay friends, and they would tell me, like, look, I can walk into basically any gym in Los Angeles and get blown within 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Can't.
That's like in the gay culture. I'm not saying I'm not. I don't know. This is what people brag to me.
Okay.
And then they laugh and they cough cum on my ear, and then I run away and say, you know, look, we're friends until you cough cum on my ear, asshole. But you know. And then with Grindr, they literally have this app where you just check in and you know, they can know, like, how many dicks per square mile are around them just waiting to get, you know, blown. You know, it's like...
Oh, I know.
It's unbelievable, their access to each other's asses. Okay, here's the thing. Obama...
I was thinking about this today.
Obama had a speech...
Yeah.
Where he's defending, he's taking a lot of criticism, you know, because he's blowing up civilians with drones.
Right.
And so, you know, you get some criticism with that. And he goes,
drones save
lives. Okay. Now, also, I'm reminded of the argument that the atom bomb saved a lot of lives in World War II. And then we're also, you know, so this is our president saying that this implement of death, it's the actual implement of death, is saving lives. The bomb of the atom bomb, the most deadly weapon ever, actually saves lives. And also, like, you know, in high school, everyone has to read the book 1984, where they talk about this Orwellian double talk, where they try to change the paradigm of what's real in your mind as a propagandist.
Yes.
And then when you have your... That's required reading in high school. And then you have your president clearly double speaking, saying that a drone saves lives. This is a thing that is, you know, shoots bombs. We know what a drone is. It kills people.
Drones are not fucking... They're not precise. They're not precise. There's casualties, and that's the fucking thing. I follow a thing on Twitter. It's just like drone stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fucking drones. Like, this is a drone attack happened today. Like, and it got this guy, you know, the link. You know, links to a story or whatever. But it's like a constant stream of every fucking drone attack that fucking happens. Yeah, I don't know. I'm fucking, if we could keep them honest, I'm fucking cool with them, like, surveying and fucking, you know, taking, like, Google shots or what, fucking whatever, or figuring out traffic or pipelines or, like, whatever, like, agricultural shit, you know?
Yeah, but then there's going to be, like, a nano helicopter, you know, flying around your room, and, like, they're as small as atoms, so you can't even see it, and they're just watching you jerk off.
Well, you know what? Then just fucking roll with it, dude. At that point, like, are you going to lead the nano revolution? Let's be real. Let's be real.
Internet would...
Roll with it. I don't fucking care.
Anonymous would make an alternate nanobot helicopter that ate the other one, the government ones, like white blood cells.
Okay, you have all this information on me right here for this interview. Like, I don't fucking care that my information's out there. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about, like, oh, privacy. Fucking, have you seen Facebook?
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking... Don't worry about it. They're doing it themselves, you know? Like, yeah. I don't... Ugh.
Like, there was, like, a hit and run in Toronto, and then this article started, two terrorists ran over some nice white people, and it's like, two terrorists, you mean, so their names were Akmakuka, and then people go, oh, their names are funny. Yep, I checked that, and that checks out, they're terrorists. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Someone was just drunk and slammed into white people, and now this article's about terrorism somehow instead of an isolated incident. I don't like the PR angle of turning random things into under the same umbrella of terrorism that we can only fight with more security. I don't want to be more secure. I want to be freer.
I heard a soundbite about... a female suicide bomber today, and I literally thought, this is true, I literally thought as soon as I heard it, like, oh, that's progressive of them, female.
Yeah, they're starting to let
them. They're letting them do that now? They're letting them blow themselves up.
Do they get 72 male versions?
It's very forward thinking.
That don't know how to touch their pussies?
Yeah, they fucking come in a second. Like, derp, fucking derp. Derp, sorry.
Just 72 bubbling teenagers who have no idea how to make her come. Monopoly is the game of capitalism. It's the board game equivalent.
Capitalism would be great. You just have to fucking keep it in check. Like a guard dog.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Here's the thing with the game of Monopoly. At the end of the game, one guy's got all the money. Okay, now in a society, if like 600 white dudes, like old fucking crotchety white dudes, like have all the money... And then, like, they just keep getting more, and it's like, okay, well, the game of Monopoly's over now. We gotta play a new game, because you can't just have misery as these, like, couple of guys, like, soak up...
Yeah, look,
you know?
There's nothing wrong with wanting to fucking get rich, and, you know, but it's like, it's weird. It's just bizarre when it's to the point of, like, I'll never be able to spend all this, like, wealth just forever, and... I get that. I get wanting to be successful. I get wanting to be able to support your family and, you know, like what my dad says, like, be better than the generation from before. I still want to do that, and it's just kind of on my own terms. But, I don't know why I'm making it about me. But capitalism is, like, if you keep it in check, because capitalism can fuck you just as much as the government can. In fact, probably more so, I think. Like, that's, I'm a shareholder in America, you know, as cheesy as that sounds. But I have... more sway there than I do, like, fucking, you know...
You got more pull in America than Denmark?
Than fucking Exxon, you know, or whatever, you know.
What?
I have more pull with America than, like, Exxon. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
So...
You, like, think Exxon's lobbying dollars, you have more pull than they do?
Like, as far as, like, you know, and there are those that would scoff at this, but, like, I vote. I fucking...
Mm-hmm.
I call my congressman, senator, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just fucking... I don't call them. Like, oh, hello, senator. You know, it's not like that.
Chucky D, what's up?
I just say, hey, look, I'm pissed about this, or I'll shoot off an email that's just, like, you know, maybe that's actually a lot easier.
What are you mad about?
Well, the drones are pretty shitty. Tuition doubled while I was in college, and, while I had some great experiences and met a lot of cool people and did things I would not do otherwise, I'm still going to be paying this off for fucking ever. There's a meme I was never even aware of. Kids have it easy these days. I worked while I went to college. I mean, I worked to pay my tuition. And then at the bottom, it's like, tuition was $700.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for full time. And it's just, mm-hmm, like, my tuition literally doubled while I was there. It's fucking, it's insane. And I didn't have a job, and I still had to get through school somehow.
Yeah, and of course, like, your parents want you to do better than them, but, like, physically, like, America, the wages were the best in the
70s. Yeah.
And ever since then, the wages actually have gone down. The medium income has gone down.
I'm not good with numbers. But I definitely know, like, you know, the opportunities are not there right now. And I probably should have gone into, like, engineering or some shit. But that's boring as fuck. And I bang my head against the wall. What if you had just, like... If you got a girl pregnant when you're 60 and the baby's, like, Benjamin Button. Well,
look, fucking... Steve Martin had a kid at 70. And it's like, oh, congratulations, might be retarded.
Ooh,
I hope not, but I mean, that's what science tells us.
He's rich. He'll.
That you can't. Yeah, I know.
He's got a good doctor, I imagine. Like, his health. He's.
That kid's coming out of the womb and just landing in cash.
It's not like, oops, you know.
You know.
But I even have that trouble with, like, ladies where, like, you know, like, I had a relationship just kind of blow up because, you know, I'm fucking broke all the time.
Right.
I was in school with the doubling tuition. Increasing student debt and no fucking job, you know, or when I did, it was fucking lame. And then, you know, I was in a comedy group, but I personally wasn't very funny.
Right.
At the time, the group was still trying to find its way too. And so, like, she'd see that and you're like, you know, we'd have like a weird practice, you know, or actually, she never saw a show, but she just saw these weird practices, weird experiment. And she just thought it was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, I don't get it. It's stupid.
Why are you making money?
Or whatever. And not she was a fucking cunt. But point being, though, like, you know, like, relationships are hard when you're working this hard. Yeah. Also, perhaps if we got into desalinization, you know what that is, right? Mm-hmm. Where you take that, like, ocean water and make it drinking water. If we could do that on a mass scale. Like, this is just me fucking dreaming. Like, fucking, like, oh, yeah, how's this gonna happen? It's not. But, like, if we just, like, for argument's sake, like, put down, like, a bunch of desalination plants, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Fucking get, like, deserts hydrated again. You know, not that it's supposed to naturally be like that, but places that could have support vegetation, fucking get lush greens going, fucking get animals back and get fucking new breeds of shit or whatever, and then you fucking have habitats and fucking people can fucking chill. You know, where rivers and lakes have gone dry.
That's why one of my favorite conspiracy guys on the internet, Benjamin Fulford, talks about all the time. He talks about desalination plants where you could harness the power of the ocean currents. If you had a giant turbine where the ocean currents were, that's a free energy source.
Yeah, okay. You know what I heard about today?
You can use that electricity to desalinate and just have giant hoses just blasting over the Sahara Desert, turning that into a rainforest.
Yeah.
I mean, there are projects out there that are so ridiculous, but I mean, that is what fucking Halliburton should be doing instead of developing different, you know, fucking instruments of death. It's almost like ritualistic chaos energy that they're trying to pump into the fucking, like, dollar, like a chaos monkey.
I used to call into bulletin board systems in, like, the mid-90s, and that was, like, kind of before AOL really took off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you call up, like, dial modems, you call local, like, center, and it was a chat center, and so they had chat rooms, they had games. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a version of World of Warcraft that was nothing but text. You just read text, and you decide, like, I'm gonna go in this room. You hit L, and you go left, or whatever, or R, go right, or straight, or back. And then you have your different attacks, and, like, you had your class, and you rolled. It's called Major Mud.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fucking great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's... We'd have meetups, and we'd go places, fucking, like, skating rinks or fucking pizza places.
So you and the texting players of World of Warcraft would get together outside,
Yeah, and a lot of them were...
just go to a park or a picnic or something.
Yeah, and a lot of them tried...
It was a little community.
Yeah, we laid out a blanket, and,
Snuggle parties?
No snuggle parties, unfortunately.
You know, you're not allowed to come at a snuggle party, and I think
that's rude. That's downright rude.
It's rude.
They're there to be comforted, not to be, like, used as a fucking human, fleshy...
I will lay this challenge.
All right.
I cannot be the big spoon with an attractive girl and not get an erection up her butt. That is, it's like, physiologically impossible. I'd like to plug some shit. I'm gonna do, be at Flappers at June 23rd. And I'm gonna do the next Eric Wargo's Backyard stand-up show.
Yeah, I'm hosting Geek League at Stages Theater in Fullerton at 8 p.m. I believe it's gonna be Adventure Time versus Archer. And I'll be Uatu the Watcher, who must never interfere! And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun shit there. And I'm going to be hosting the OC Cage match on June 1st after hosting Thunder Goat Backyard Show on June 1st at 7 p.m. So I double dip that night. I get a little bit of stand-up. I get a little bit of improv.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you're giving the French tickler. You I'm get, the like, French tickler. Like, around the side and also the reach around.
And I'll be competing in Spectacle Mania at Stages. All my shit's at Stages. I'll be competing in Spectacle Mania June 8th, that is at 9 p.m. The Thunder Goat Taco Cart will be in effect at Stages for that. I'm going to be, I'm fucking really happy for that. And then that's it on the horizon. Oh, yeah, and then another OC Cage match on June 15th. That's at midnight. That's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Boom.
EricWargo.com. Eric Wargo, thank you so much for being a guest on Highway Diary with Eric Hollerbach.
Thank you, Eric Hollerbach. We'll have you on Blamo soon. And follow me at Eric Wargo, ErikWargo on the Twitter. And that's all I got, man. Boom, thank you.
Boom.
It's been fun.
Boom.
Let's go check out these gay dudes.
Let's do it. That's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. I want to thank everyone who came out to the shows. I had a stand-up show that went great on the 1st of June. And then the 2nd of June, Wilhelm Skeptisch, debunking, the screening went off fucking great. So thank you, everybody, for coming to those. I definitely met people that I hadn't met before just because they listened to the podcast. I don't know how it gets out. Facebook and friends of friends. People knew me that I didn't know. It's fucking great. Please, if you're listening to this, Sunday, June 23rd, 2013, I have a contest show at Flappers. Now, I'm 2 for 2 as far as these contests, so I don't know if they're making any bookkeeping, but the smart money's on this guy. I got a bunch of new jokes about my cum, a bit about shaving my dick, so I got like a really wide range of stuff I'm working on. You know, if you are a relative of mine and you click this by accident or whatever, know that if you go to erichollerbach.com, or the official Highway Diary RSS feed, you can click through the Amazon link if you're going to buy anything on Amazon. Doesn't make anything more expensive. It just gives us a very small percentage of what Amazon's commission on, you know. Anyway, thanks for listening. We got tons of great stuff. This next week, we have Spanky the Truth Miller. And a bunch, and then after that, a whole lot of Anthony Garino, one of my best friends in the world, Anthony Garino, and you know him from the fucking Fudge House Rules, podcast. He's doing great. He fucking is filming a movie out here. He's gonna stay with me all week, so plenty of fucking episodes. There's gonna be a marathon of Garino episodes coming out. Also, I have listeners in fucking the UK and Germany and Copenhagen. I'm looking at the geostats. I don't fucking know how they found me. But thank you very much for listening. If you're from foreign, if you're a foreign person, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up. I'm much more active on Facebook, though. I can only really deal with one social media site. So even if I don't know you, we'll be friends on Facebook, ever want to send me, feedback about the show, just hit me up through my website or through my Facebook. And if you go to erichollerbach.com, click appearances, that shit is always current. Even the night after a show, I'll go home and I'll update it. I'm like completely OCD about that, so click over to the appearances, and, if you want to see what this guy looks like and, you know, the weird inflections my face has to make to have my stupid accent spit out my dumb face, you got to see me live doing stand-up. So come out, and I might kick your dick in to a vagina. Back into a dick? I'm high.
Oh, yeah, and your street smart doctorate is in the mail. What?